1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 1. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Spirit of God. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given, through the Spirit, the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized with one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given great honour to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts.
Well, it's good to be with you. Be good if you have your Bibles open at 1 Corinthians 12. And also, hopefully, you received a sheet when you came in. It's got room on one side for notes if you'd like to take any. But on the other side, there's other verses we'll be mentioning along the way this morning. So it'd be useful to have that. to your side. And I think it would be appropriate just to thank you for your prayerful support over these past 8 months since the Lord took my wife Kim home to be with himself. We've known the Lord's support in so many, many ways, and we know a lot of that is very directly in answer to the prayers of his people. And so thank you for your support, and it's just good to be able to be here with you today to thank you personally and to have fellowship with you. We're going to be looking then at 1 Corinthians 12 under this title of the Holy Spirit and service, thinking about how we as believers might serve the Lord, and recognising just how closely the work of the Holy Spirit is connected with that. And it can be an area of great confusion and problem to Christians, because we perhaps sometimes wonder, I don't know whether you do, kind of, what gifts have I got? And we can look at the list that we have in chapters like 1 Corinthians 12 and think, well, I don't have any of those, so, you know, am I not gifted? And questions like that. Well, the whole of the chapter that's been read for us, 1 Corinthians 12, is about the work of the Holy Spirit and his gifts to his people. We know that because in verse 1, Paul writes, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." And actually that little phrase, "now about," is a little phrase that's repeated several times through in this letter. The early chapters don't have it. It's as though Paul is there dealing with issues that are on his mind and heart, concerns to him. And then there's this string of "now about this, now about that." And it seems that they were probably areas where they had been in touch with him by letter or by a messenger, and was asking, they were asking for help on these particular matters. And so he turns to this next one, "now about the gifts of the Spirit, I do not want you to be uninformed." And once he's laid that foundation, there's then a really quite surprising start to what he has to say about the gifts of the Spirit. Look what he says in verses 2 and 3. He says, "You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." You might think, hang on, I thought you were telling us at the beginning of this chapter, verse 1, that we were talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit. What's this then about when there were pagans worshipping mute idols, and that no one can say, by the Holy Spirit, "Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit? Where does this connect? Well, what Paul wants to make clear right away, before he gets into the detail of the gifts the Holy Spirit gives, is he wants to make very, very clear that whatever the Holy Spirit does, in all of his work, in all of his ministry, he focuses on the Lord Jesus. He brings honour to the Lord Jesus. So that anybody who's working in the power of the Holy Spirit would never say, "Jesus be cursed." So they might do dramatic things. They might even say they're doing it by the Holy Spirit. But if they bring dishonour to Jesus, if they either directly or indirectly say, "Jesus be cursed," then it's not the Holy Spirit who's working through them. And he wants to make that absolutely clear, because it's absolutely foundational. And so our first point is that the Holy Spirit primarily does one thing: honour Jesus. And we need to keep that in mind before we even think about gifts. It will lead us into the fact that all the gifts he gives are ultimately, primarily, to bring honour to Jesus. Because that's how the Holy Spirit works. That is his ministry. The Holy Spirit, I think, has been well described as being like floodlights. We, the other Saturday, were up in Durham. What a beautiful ancient city that is. And up high on the hill, there's Durham Cathedral. Now, we weren't there into the evening, but I seem to recollect that I have been there in the evening. And the whole cathedral gets floodlit, and you can see it from a distance as you walk or drive in towards Durham, and there is the cathedral. Now, nobody, having seen that glorious lit cathedral on the hill, says, fantastic floodlights. They say, fantastic cathedral. What a building, isn't it amazing? You see, the floodlights don't draw attention to themselves. They are fantastic, they do a brilliant job, but they are there to bring attention to the thing they are pointed towards. They are there in Durham to bring attention to the cathedral. And the Holy Spirit's ministry is much like that. He is sent to bring honour to the Lord Jesus, to bring praise to him, to point, as it were, towards the Lord Jesus. So you can guarantee that if the Spirit of God is at work, Jesus will be honoured. If Jesus isn't being honoured, no matter what anybody might say, we can guarantee, we can be assured that the Holy Spirit is not at work, because he always directly points towards the Lord Jesus Christ. It is fundamental point. It's frequently made throughout the New Testament. And Paul wants to just throw it in here again before he comes to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, so that people are absolutely clear that all gifts will honour the Lord Jesus. So, if we have a gift, we need to be asking, is it bringing honour to Jesus? It should be. If not, then either it's not a gift of the Spirit, or that gift is being abused. It may be spectacular, amazing, powerful, and highly influential. But what really matters is it bringing honour to Jesus? So, having laid that kind of foundational point, Paul moves on and says that in this area of gifts, in order to honour Jesus, the Holy Spirit goes on to do three things. So our second point is that to honour Jesus, the Holy Spirit gives, next one as well, please, he gives gifts to everyone. He gives gifts to everyone. By everyone, we're talking everyone within the context of this chapter. He's just been talking about people who can say Jesus is Lord, and that people can only say that truly from the heart. Obviously, anyone could just say the words, but people can only say that truly from the heart if the Holy Spirit has moved in them and drawn them to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're talking about everyone in the sense of everyone in the church, everyone who has the Holy Spirit, everyone who has been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what he says of everyone within the church. Look at verse 11. All these are the work of, and he's been talking about different gifts, all these different gifts are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Not one single believer is left out. Not one single believer is forgotten. Not one single believer is ignored. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to each one. Now, you might be sat there thinking, well, I think I'm the exception. You know, I'm not so sure about any gifts that I've got. Well, if you're thinking that, there must be a different cause for those thoughts. Because on the authority of God's word, verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 12, we know that the Holy Spirit does give gifts to each one without exception. So what might be the other reasons? If we feel personally that we haven't been given gifts, what might be the reasons for us thinking like that? Well, there could be several. One might be that perhaps you're thinking too much of just something that is obviously supernatural. So you might have read verses like this. Pick up the middle of verse 9, where it talks about to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. Then verse 10, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. You might be looking at those and thinking, I don't have any gifts like that. I've never been able to do any of those kind of miracles. I've never been able to speak in tongues. I've never healed anybody. I don't have any gifts. Well, we shouldn't be thinking so narrowly about those gifts. Look at verse 8. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. Got any wisdom to share with anybody? That's fairly straightforward, isn't it? Fairly mundane. It's not dramatic. It's not miraculous. It's not going to get the crowds coming. But it is still a gift of the Spirit. If you look at the other sheet with other verses on, Romans 12 also speaks about gifts of the Spirit. And there it talks in verses 7 and 8 of the gifts of serving. Look at verse 7, if it is serving, then serve. Verse 8, if it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. Serving, encouraging, giving, these are all gifts of the Spirit. Just as much as the ability to heal or to speak in different languages or to interpret them, these are gifts of the Spirit as well. So don't just think of the miraculous, the obviously miraculous. These gifts, helping, guidance, serving, encouraging, giving generously, these are all important gifts as well. And it's interesting, isn't it, how our minds do tend to prioritise the supernatural, the loud and amazing things. One preacher says you don't find many asking for the gift of liberality or the gift of generosity. It's true, isn't it? You know, people are wanting the dramatic gifts, the miraculous gifts. But how about praying that God would give us a generous heart, where we give to others, to support them generously? Perhaps we wouldn't like that gift because we'd have less left for ourselves. But it's still a gift, you see. So we might be thinking too much of the supernatural. We might also be thinking too much of the kind of upfront stuff. So yes, at the end of verse 8 of Romans 12, it does talk about leading. That is true. And we might think, well, I haven't got gifts of preaching, teaching, I'm not gifted in children's work, I'm not a great Christian author, or I don't write amazing Christian songs that enable God's people to express their praise to him. But the point is the same. We must look at the full range of gifts. It's not just the supernatural, it's not just the kind of upfront, obvious gifts that count. Or another thing we might be doing is that we might be constantly looking at the gifts that other people have, maybe with a little bit of envy, thinking, I wish I was gifted like that. I mean, that piano playing this morning, I wish I was a musician. I am not. I appreciate it at the other end, but I cannot make music. It just does not seem to work for me. But we can look at the gifts of others and envy them to the point when we then don't notice. We don't see the gifts that we have. You miss your own. You know, when children reach a certain age, I mean, when they're young at Christmas, it's lovely, isn't it? They're just obsessed with the gifts that they get. In fact, they love the wrapping paper more than the present half the time, don't they, when they're really young? But then they get to appreciate the present. And then as they get a bit older, if they have brothers and sisters, and they notice what the other's getting, you know, they're wondering, mine seems so small, theirs seems so big. And there's that looking over the shoulder with envy at others. It's a bit like me when we go out for a meal as a family, and if we have a dessert, I'm guaranteed, no matter what I order, I always get the smallest. It's as though those serving say, We need to look after his heart. Yeah? He needs a smaller portion. And I can order the same as somebody else and I still get the small portion. I can order different somebody else and I still get the same portion. And I spend the time, why didn't I get that? And missing what I've got myself. And that's how we can be with gifts sometimes. Envying others rather than appreciating what we ourselves have got. And that's important because, you know, it's really insulting to the Holy Spirit to treat his gifts so very, very badly. You will have felt it, I'm sure, yourself, if you've noticed when you've given gifts to, say, several children and they aren't appreciating what they've got because they think, you know, sisters, brothers are bigger or something like that or better and that kind of thing. It's painful. It hurts. It's insulting. You see, verse 11 says, all these gifts are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. You don't want to insult the Holy Spirit, do you? You might be thinking, hang on, the Holy Spirit is wanting to bring honour to Jesus, and to do that, he's given gifts, indeed, to everyone. You might think, well, how does giving gifts to everyone bring honour to Jesus? Well, the simple fact is when we're all using our God-given gifts, it really shows that Jesus, in his saving work, is at work for real in his people. Because when people are using the gifts that God has given them, it's evident that their lives have been changed by the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have it in Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10 on the sheet. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You see, the evidence of being saved by God's grace is that we do those works that God has prepared beforehand for us to do. And that shows that he's been at work. Or as Jesus put it in Matthew 5 and verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see our good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. As we serve with the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to us, it is evident that God has been at work in our lives, and that brings honour to Jesus. Now, we've skipped ahead here, so the next point... No, we're up there already. You've gone ahead of me, so thank you. So the other area is that to honour Jesus, the Holy Spirit gives different gifts to everyone. And this is emphasised in verses 4 to 6 initially, where it says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. And then in verse 8, to one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. You see, it's no accident, is it? It's a direct plan and purpose of God to do this. Verse 11 says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. It's his plan to give different gifts. Why? I mean, doesn't this automatically run the risk of envy and his twin brother, self-pity? Isn't that always going to be the risk? Well, in verses 12, right through to verse 26, which we read earlier, Paul speaks to that question at length, comparing the church to the human body. He says, for instance, in verse 14, even so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. That's the crux of his argument. The body is not all eyes. I mean, can you imagine it? We'd look pretty strange, wouldn't we? We'd have excellent vision, but we'd go nowhere because we wouldn't have any feet. How could we move around on our eyeballs? Oh, dreadful thought, isn't it? We're not all eyes. We're not all ears. Great hearing, but see nothing, go nowhere. It'd be ridiculous. The human body is as brilliant as it is because every part of the body is different. And it's been made that way so that the various functions of different parts of the body complement one another. It would be dreadful if we were just one thing. We'd have very distinct strengths, but many, many weaknesses. And so it is with the church. The church is the brilliant body that God has made us to be because we are all different. It would be terrible, not only boring, but terrible, functionally terrible, if we were all exactly the same. And there is something beautiful about the unity and harmony that comes from the diversity of the church, of the human body. It's all the same, really. And as I was trying to get across to the children earlier, you can see the same kind of thing happening in many areas of life. We were talking about the hospital, weren't we? How all these different people all work to make a hospital actually operate. Okay, doesn't always operate perfectly or absolutely efficiently. We'll leave that issue to the politicians this morning. But basically, a hospital works because there are so many people doing so many different things. Think of your car. There's a windscreen, there's wheels, there's a steering wheel, there's spark plugs. I don't know much more about cars, so don't ask me to carry on. But there's loads of different things there in a car, aren't they? And they all work together to make the car work. That's how the church is. We're not supposed to have the same gifts. We need them all. And that's why the Holy Spirit has determined to distribute those gifts to each one as he has determined in the right people to the right extent. He equips and he empowers us to serve in such a way then that we actually all need one another. That's a beautiful truth to that. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Any of you individually cannot turn round to others here this morning and say, I don't need you. Because we've been given different gifts and they are all needed. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Absolutely not. We are all needed. And that actually binds us together. It draws us together. It pulls us together. Verse 25. So that there should be no division in the church, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. That's how it's worked, because of the Holy Spirit giving these different gifts. We are all needed, all important. No one can say, I don't need you. No, we are all absolutely essential. And again, the fact that different gifts have been given to everyone brings honour to Jesus. Why? Well, if you think back to Jesus' prayer in John 17, he connects his honour with the unity, the love that exists in the church. Look at John 17, verses 20 and 21. It says, my prayer is not for them alone. He's been talking about the disciples who were alive with him at the time. Now he's looking forward. He says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them, all believers, may be one, Father. Just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. We think of all kinds of evangelistic strategies. seems to me that the only evangelistic strategy that is promised to have impact, and that doesn't mean that we're not to use different evangelistic approaches, but the only one that is promised to have impact in the New Testament is the love and the unity that there is within the church. Jesus says that if we are one, the world may believe that the Father has sent the Son. That's a huge step forward. He comes back to it again in verse 23. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Again, he ties it. When there's unity, the world will notice. That is what brings honour to Jesus. So don't be looking at the way the Holy Spirit has equipped and empowered others to serve with a degree of envy in your heart. But instead, look with admiration and thank God for what he is doing in the church. And then finally, to honour Jesus, the Holy Spirit gives different gifts to everyone for everyone else's benefit. See, I don't know whether you felt it was warm enough this morning, not to bother to put the central heating on, but think back to when it's a bit chillier if you haven't done it yet. Why do you put the central heating on in your house? To heat the radiators? But not ultimately, is it? It's to heat the house. The radiators are just the means to the end. The end is, I want a warm, comfortable house. The Holy Spirit, like the central heating, works through us, the radiators, for the benefit of the whole church, the house. That's how it is. That means your gifts are not for your benefit. You don't mind me saying, but they're for mine. And actually for everyone else's here. For all of us, your gifts are not for your benefit, but for the benefit of everyone else who are believers. My gifts, they're not for me. They're for you. And that's how God has set us within the church. You see this in verse 4 onwards, where he says there's different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. For the common good, for everyone else's benefit. That's why they are given. You see, the focus, not the exclusive focus, but the primary focus, this is like centre picture rather than at the periphery, that the focus of the New Testament is not the question, what gift has the Holy Spirit given to me? It's more a question of how can I serve my brothers and sisters? It's starting with the point of how can I serve for everyone else's benefit? Now, the first question, the question of what gift has the Holy Spirit given me, isn't wrong. I don't want to suggest it's wrong. But if it comes first, it can be horribly introverted. It can lead to a load of navel gazing, that's the right word, not nasal gazing. Oh dear, that would be strange, wouldn't it? Navel gazing. That's what it can lead to. It can be very, very introverted and very unhealthy, self-centred. The second question, how can I serve others, my brothers and sisters, is a much healthier question because we're called to it. Philippians 2, verse 4. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. We're called to it, so it's a healthier question. But actually, when we answer it, we probably answer the other question anyway. Is it, if you see how you can serve others, you found your gift. There's your gift. Doesn't matter if it's not miraculous and spectacular, it doesn't matter if it's not a kind of upfront leadership role. Doesn't matter if it's never going to be kind of announced in the notice. Doesn't matter if you can't even quite put a name to it and say, I have the gift of. Doesn't matter. Call to humility. It doesn't matter. We're not looking for that kind of thing. If we can serve, if we can wash the disciples' feet as Jesus did in John 13, that's enough. That's your gift. That's your gift. I have the gift of foot washing. Doesn't sound very glamorous, does it? But that's what it is. You see, he has given you particular gifts for everyone else's benefit. And if you're belonging to Hall Green Church, it's all about receiving. If it's about coming to get rather than to give, then again, you're insulting the work of the Holy Spirit, because he has given you gifts to serve others. And if you're hiding them away, if you've locked them in the cupboard, even the cupboard of supposed humility, where you think, I haven't got any gifts, you're wrong. That's wrong. You have. Think about how you can serve others. Is that just to encourage somebody? Is that just to say something nice to somebody? Or start there. Start there, wash their feet with a bit of encouragement like that. If you don't use those gifts, other people are missing out. That's guaranteed, because the Holy Spirit has given these gifts for the benefit of others. So rather than doing that, let's rejoice in the Holy Spirit's work to empower and equip us to serve. Let's thank him for the gifts that we've been given, even if we can't put a name to them, even if they're not very glamorous. Let's thank him for those gifts, and thank him for the gifts that he has given to everyone else as well, that we so richly benefit from. And when we thank him, let's make sure that we also take the opportunity every now and again to thank people for their service, for their gifts, for the way that they've helped, encouraged, ministered to us in different ways. Because all of that will bring honour, real honour, to the Lord Jesus.